On this feast of St. Joseph the Worker, I'd like you to imagine to yourselves two men, perhaps of your own profession, or two men working side by side in the factory. Let's consider these two men and the difference between them. The first man is a devout Catholic. He has risen early and said his morning prayers, giving God the first place in his day. And having arranged the affairs of his home, he goes off to his work. In his morning offering, he has dedicated his whole day to God. And though through his day he's focused on his job, focused on the things he has to do, yet from time to time he turns his mind back to God. And having made that morning offering, he is fulfilling to the best of his ability what St. Paul has said, to do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knows that even though at every moment he's not thinking about God, still everything he is doing is working towards that end and is focused on that goal. He knows that every action he takes, because it is done with love for God, brings him closer to heaven and earns him a reward there. And even when his day does not go well, when perhaps he fails at his work, or everything seems to go badly, when a deal falls through or he gets the worst end, when things are frustrated and he's a bit worn out and annoyed and unsuccessful, yet having spent that day for God, deep down, he does not regard it as a failure. And at the end of it all, and regardless of the external success, he knows that he has done it for the right reasons, and he will receive his reward, as St. Paul says. Deep down, he is not disturbed, because he is living for God. And more than this, everything in his life is directed towards God. But in the short term also, he has his family or those for whom he may care. And often the thought of them gives him the drive to go through long hours of toil, often difficult, boring, monotonous, frustrating. But when he thinks of his wife and children, or those whom God has given him to care for, gives him a great impetus to work hard and perseveringly. And in all this work, there's selflessness. He's working for God and for others. And even those devout men whose vocation is not to have a family often are a great support to the poor and to many who are in need. This is the man who lives his Catholic faith in practice. Now let us turn our mind to the other man, perhaps standing next to him, doing the exact same job day after day. But this man, perhaps he has risen early as well, but he has given no thought to God. As far as he knows or cares, God does not exist. And if he does, then it doesn't matter to him. But he has to get up for some reason, then to serve someone. And if there is no God, then let him serve himself. Let himself be his own God. Or what is less egregious, but no less erroneous, perhaps he will serve a woman or a family or an institution. This man's first thought of the day is not directed to eternity, but all of his thoughts are directed to this world only. How to procure pleasure for himself or pleasure for his family. As he goes to his toil, he has no hope of an eternal reward. There is nothing beyond the grave for him. He thinks only what he can do to have fun this night, or to have a good weekend, or for his next holiday. He is driven perhaps by a love for his family But only a natural love that looks to this life and does not have their eternal good at heart. He thinks perhaps of his retirement. Maybe his greatest goal is to buy an RV and see the country. Everything he hopes for and everything he builds his life around could be gone in an instant. And even if he achieves it all, it will all quickly go away. If he fails at his work, if he loses a deal, if his business does not go well, then his day is truly a waste and truly a failure. And if his failures continue, then he becomes hopeless. And even the less selfish man who perhaps thinks not only of himself, but also of his family or others, but who has no God, is little better off. For how much difference does it make if he makes himself God or he makes his wife God? In neither case is he holy, and in neither case is his life a success. And in both cases, he builds his house on sand. He is like a man who builds a sandcastle while the tide is out, knowing with complete certainty that only a matter of time and he will lose all his work. And so if he does not find his God quickly, if he does not succeed in his business, if he loses his money or his job or his loved ones, if he can't get the pleasure he looks for, the success he wants, the prestige he wants, then he gets depressed. For what does he have? He has nothing left. And what he made God has disappeared. His God is dead and his world is empty. And he has little reason to live or work, and sometimes even no longer desires to do so. But this is the life without God. And while people are busy and active, they think they'll love it. Which of these two do we desire? The first you can only have if you put God first, absolutely first. And the second you will certainly have sooner or later if you put anything but God first. The first man is produced when someone lives a really Christian life. This life produces men who are strong, well-rooted, moral, upright, who have peace of heart, balance in mind, and initiative in their life. The second man is produced when people live a godless life. And it is produced in a special way by communism, which today's feast of St. Joseph the Worker was instituted to combat. Pope Pius XII instituted this feast in 1955, and he chose this day, the 1st of May, for a reason. It became what is known as May Day. It was the workers' day throughout the world, and it was a communist civil holiday. And so Pope Pius XII put a feast of St. Joseph on this day in order to restore dignity to the laborers. For communism and its root theory is intrinsically atheist. The theory developed by Karl Marx, which underlays communism, is an entirely materialist one. It believes in no spiritual world at all, only this material life. Man has no soul, he's just an animal. There's nothing beyond the grave. It denies the right to private ownership, which is a natural right from God, and which is so key to men working hard. If men cannot have private property, they lose their drive to work because they can gain nothing for themselves or their families. Communism now, though not always under the name, is actively promoted and furthered. And it's promoted as something which raises up the working man, which is all about him. But in reality, it degrades people to the lowest level possible. It means that the man who is not a big success is an absolute failure. That he is worth no more than an animal. And it naturally leads to the oppression by those who are more powerful, perhaps more capable. Because what value does another man have? Pope Pius XII wanted very much that people should be warned against this and against these lies, because they came under a false guise of making the world better for people. But if you remove God from the picture, men lose all their dignity, and hatred and oppression will certainly come about. And he instituted this feast also to honor Saint Joseph, and is to give him as a model for men. There is not a lot written about Saint Joseph, or not a lot of words written about Saint Joseph in sacred scripture. But it calls him a just man, a term which it uses very rarely. Because a just man in scripture is one who gives everything he owes to God and everything he owes to his fellow man. He is a perfect man, a holy man, who fulfills his duty. Saint Joseph worked hard with his hands to provide for his family. He faced very hard times. To do God's will, to go into Egypt, he had to let his business go by the wayside. He was not able to return home to take up his work again. He had to go into a foreign country, where he probably didn't speak the language, where he had no business established. It must have been very difficult indeed to provide for his family. And yet he did not grumble, but humbly did the will of God. So he's a wonderful patron and example for us. He is the patron also of the universal church. For having provided for Christ's bodily needs, also he watches over the mystical body of Christ, the church on earth. So we ought to pray for him, pray to him. In this time when the church needs his help so much, fathers ought to pray much to him for their families, when families need so much the grace of God. And he is also the patron of a good and holy death, having died with Jesus and Mary at his side. If God's design is followed, if God's order is followed, it leads to the most peace and happiness that mankind can have in this world. So we must be careful not to fall subject to the lies which propose a utopia on earth, a heaven here below. This does not exist and never will exist. But this place is not our lasting home. But if we strive to live selfless lives, and we strive to give God the first place, then we will see the greatest measure of peace and happiness possible to mankind. So let's take Saint Joseph as our patron, and on this feast day especially, let us ask him for his blessing upon our families, upon our world and the difficulties we face, and also upon our country, for he is especially a patron of Canada. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.